The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 7, text number 20, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on June 9th, 2008, in Sydney, Australia.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 7, Knowledge of the Absolute, text number 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Kamaistaistaya hrita jnana prapajyantenya devata Tang tang niyamamashtaya pakrityani yatasvaya. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. Purport. Those who are freed from all material contaminations surrender unto the Supreme Lord and engage in His devotional service. As long as the material contamination is not completely washed off, they are by nature non-devotees. But even those who have material desires and who resort to the Supreme Lord are not so much attracted by external nature. Because of approaching the right goal, they soon become free from all material lust. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is recommended that whether one is a pure devotee and is free from all material desires, or is full of material desires, or desires liberation from material contamination, he should, in all cases, surrender unto Vasudeva and worship him, as stated in Bhagavatam 2.3.10, Akama sarvakamo va mokshakamo daradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Less intelligent people who have lost their spiritual sense take shelter of demigods for immediate fulfillment of material desires. Generally, such people do not go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they are in the lower modes of nature, ignorance and passion, and therefore worship various demigods. Following the rules and regulations of worship, they are satisfied. The worshippers of the demigods are motivated by small desires and do not know how to reach the supreme goal. But a devotee of the Supreme Lord is not misguided, because in Vedic literature there are recommendations for worshipping different gods for different purposes. For example, a diseased man is recommended to worship the sun. Those who are not devotees of the Lord think that for certain purposes demigods are better than the Supreme Lord. But a pure devotee knows that the Supreme Lord Krishna is the master of all. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 5.142 it is said, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabha Bhrija. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is master and all others are servants. Therefore, a pure devotee never goes to demigods for satisfaction of his material needs. He depends on the Supreme Lord, and the pure devotee is satisfied with whatever he gets.
Shri Guru
Shri Jata Vanakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagama Raghunatan Vitandam Sajiva Sadaita Samaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. So, what's the point of worshipping these demigods anyway? Simply you get some better position within the prison and so on. One time I was arrested for the heinous crime of distributing Back to Godhead magazine. I was thrown in jail, actually. Not thrown, placed in jail. And I noted that in the jail there were certain prisoners who were privileged. They had somehow flattered the jail creeper in various ways, and they didn't have to stay in their cell like I did, you see. They could wander freely up and down the cell block and chat with this prisoner in his cell and that prisoner with his in his cell, etc., etc., etc. Actually, I wrote a poem at that time called "Which Side of the Bars Are You On?" Because I understood that I was on the liberated side. They were behind bars from my perspective, not me. The whole material world was... I was looking through the bars and I see the whole material world was behind the bars. But point is that you can flatter the officials of the prison and get some privileges within the prison, but you're still in the prison, you see? So what's the good of being... There was a name... This was the county jail. Leesburg, Florida, county's jail. They were called trustees. They were trusted. So they were allowed to wander freely in jail. During certain hours, of course, you know. I'm sure they were locked up at certain times. But... what's the good of flattering the prison officials of this material existence? This material existence is a prison. So the demigod worshippers are simply flattering the prison officials for some special perks that other prisoners don't get, that's all. What's the big, is it really worth it? I mean, why not spend your energy on getting out of the prison altogether? Isn't that intelligence? Why not invest your time and your energy and your intelligence and your devotion to actually getting out completely of the prison? This is intelligence. Therefore, Krishna says, Hrita Gyan. These demigod worshippers, they have no brain. You see, their brain has been stolen. Anyone who thinks that you can enjoy this material world, they're an illusion. There is no enjoyment here. All the way from Cairns down to Adelaide. Every place is miserable. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravarchin Arjuna Mamupechita Kanteya Punar Janmanivajite. Krishna says every place is miserable. Even Brahma Loka, can you imagine? Brahma Loka, which is far beyond the residences of the demigods. Can you imagine? Even Brahma Loka is considered a miserable place. You know how long they live there? I mean, you know, Brahma, you know how long Brahma's lifespan is? 311 trillion years. Can you conceive of 311 trillion years? I mean, it's inconceivable for our tiny brains how long that would be. But you know, for Brahma, it doesn't seem that long any more than our 100 years seems for us. There's one story in this connection from the Bhagavatam. There was one earthly king, he wanted to get a daughter, a husband for his daughter. So, by his great powers, he was able to go to Brahmaloka to see Brahma about getting a nice husband for her daughter, his daughter. And there was a concert going on, so they waited in the anteroom while the concert was going on so they could have their darshan with Brahmaji. But the time of the concert was over because the time is different in Brahmaloka planet. As you know, during Krishna Leela, one moment later, Brahmaji came back to see what had happened from stealing all the cows and boys. But that was 1 year later of earthly time. So by the time the concert was over, millions and millions of years had passed on the earthly planet. So when he came back down, they didn't even know who he was, the king. He wasn't even in the history books. He was, you know, he had vanished even from the history books. No one even remembered who he was, you see. So the time span on Brahmaloka is quite different. So even if you go all the way to Brahmaloka, where, you know, they have inconceivable enjoyments that we can't even conceive of here, still it's miserable life. So why try to advance yourself in this material existence, you see? It just doesn't make sense. Get out of the place, you see. This is a sinking ship. This is like the Titanic. They said it was known as the ship that would never sink. They had some special things, you know, they could seal off one section of the ship. If there was a leak in one section, they could put these watertight, waterproof doors that would keep, that it couldn't sink, the whole ship couldn't. They thought they had it all figured out so the ship wouldn't sink. But it sank on the first, on its maiden voyage, it was finished. You see. Even though it was a heavenly ship, with, you know, expensive chandeliers and the most highly paid orchestra with violin, you know, expert violin players and, you know, everything. All fancy paraphernalia was there. But the whole thing was finished. There was one mistake they made. There wasn't enough lifeboats for all the passengers. Whoops. They thought, well, what's the big deal? It's not going to sink anyway. And then, when the first lifeboat went out, it was two-thirds empty. They sent the first big lifeboat that went out was two-thirds empty. So that's another bunch of people that died because of that mistake. So there was a huge disaster, even though it was thought to be such a heavenly thing, the Titanic, you see. So this whole material world is like a Titanic. It seems to be a very unsinkable ship. You know, we can have great enjoyments here in the ballroom, in the dining room, here and there, everywhere. But actually, the whole thing is going to sink. You see, when Mahavishnu inhales, this whole material universe will just be annihilated. It'll just go into a dormant state. And all the living entities who are trying to enjoy here, they will go into a state of suspended animation. But until Mahavishnu exhales again, and again they come out and pick up where they left off in Karma Chakra. They don't even get liberated by going into Mahavishnu's body. All they do is come out again and pick up where they left off in their sense gratification. And this way you can go on from universal manifestation to universal manifestation for inconceivable numbers of quintillions of years. You can remain in the cycle of birth and death. You see? So, why not get out of this mess? If we simply take shelter of Krishna, then immediately we can be liberated from this material existence. Actually, as soon as we seriously take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, Prabhupada explains, as soon as we take initiation, which is our solid commitment, you see, then our deathlessness begins from that point. In other words, we are now existing beyond this material existence. You understand? Even though we are here within it, we are not dependent on this material existence any longer for our sense of identity, for our purpose, for our mission, for our reason for being here. It doesn't depend on Australia or the United States of America or even the planet Earth. You see? It simply depends, Jivera Sarupa Hoi, Krishnera Nitya Das, the constitutional position of the living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. So we have to awaken this consciousness, which is known as Krishna consciousness, through the authorized process of Bhakti Yoga, taught by the great acharyas Mahajana Yena Gata Supanta. If we follow this pathway of the great acharyas, then we are sure and certain to be liberated from all suffering conditions. So this is the request of the great Mahajanas. They are requesting, get out of this mess. Tamasi ma jyotirgama. Come out of the darkness, come into the light. This is the message, you see. Don't remain a fool in this material existence. Get out of here while you have a chance. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadipai Bhakti Lata Bij. If one is fortunate enough to come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master by the mercy of Krishna, and you have your hearing submissively from him, then by that hearing the seed of bhakti is planted in your heart. Simply by hearing submissively from a bona fide spiritual master, the seed of bhakti is entering into your heart. Now, what do you do with the seed? You get it to grow. You water it and you weed the garden that surrounds it. So if we take advantage by watering the seed of bhakti, Hare Krishna is the process, chanting Hare Krishna waters that seed. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we'll weed that garden by avoiding illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling. And if we keep the Namaparads, especially the first one, which is Vaishnavaparad. We don't let the mad elephant of Vaishnavaparad enter into the garden of our heart. See, by always being respectful to all the devotees. See. Then, that seed of bhakti will grow very nicely. It will penetrate the thick, thick coverings of, you know how thick the coverings of the universe are? Unbelievable. The whole what we see, this huge, vast, millions and billions of miles of space, the first layer of the universe is 10 times the open space. The second layer is 10 times the first layer. The third layer is 10 times the second layer. The fourth layer is 10 times the third. In this way, it goes on. If you actually graphically looked at the universe, the open space is a little tiny, insignificant pinhead inside of this huge, huge shell. So how to get out of the coverings of this thing? This is the most thick cut prison you've ever seen, thick-walled prison you could ever conceive of, this material universe. But if you can actually develop this bhakti lata, the creeper of devotion, by hearing and chanting and by serving guru and Vaishnavas, then you will develop a creeper which will penetrate through all of these coverings and if it enter into the spiritual sky. It will go past all the Vaikuntha planets. It will go straight for the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And there it will entwine itself around their lotus feet, and the beautiful prema phal, the fruit of love of God, that will then manifest sweeter than any mango you could ever imagine. You see? So, kindly take to this process. This is what the acharyas are telling. You see. Kindly take to this person. Do not remain a fool. You see, simply beating your head against the wall in this material existence, trying to squeeze out some pleasure where there is no pleasure. Punak punas charvata charvananam. We even had a popular song back in the 60s like that. It said, does your chewing gum lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? So, that's the position. Punak punas charvata charvananam. If there was any pleasure here, it's already been chewed out. There's no pleasure left. Even if there was pleasure in this material existence, it was chewed out millions and billions of years ago. It's like when we go to Vrindavan, sometimes we've gone to these sugar cane juice wallet, you know. They take the sugar cane, they put it through once, twice, thrice. They get every drop of juice out of that sugar cane, you see. And then when they finally throw it, there's nothing left. You can be sure there's no juice left. And somebody comes along and thinks, I'm going to enjoy that sugar cane. They won't get any juice because it's squeezed out by that powerful machine. You see? So there's no juice to be had in this material world. But yet, due to false propaganda, billboards, magazines, you know, movies, television, this false propaganda, we actually think there's some pleasure here. It's like that old jingle, things go better with Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola doesn't make things go better, it makes things go worse. But people think, yeah, if I have Coke, then things are better, you see. Coca-Cola. Actually, Prabhupada told Dhanavir Maharaj that you should ask the people of the Coca-Cola company to rename their soda as Hare Krishna. You can just imagine things go better with Hare Krishna. It's the real thing. Hare Krishna. That'd be great, you know. Prabhupada is very, very bold in his vision. And if we keep that bold vision of Prabhupada, he'll be very happy with us, you know. We shouldn't become timid, you know. We should be like Hanuman and Arjuna, very bold for, you know, setting the world on fire with the revolution of Krishna Bhakti. Is it? So anyway, I can ask if there's any questions.
Maharaj, as you said, like, things get better with Coca-Cola. So you can drink and you can feel, you know. How can you explain with Hare Krishna Mahamantra that things will get better?
Yes, you have to drink it. You have to drink it into your soul, through your ears, you see. It is also a drinking process. We drink Hare Krishna through the ear. And then you let, and it's like you can fill up your belly with Coca-Cola. You can fill up your soul with Hare Krishna. You just got to keep drinking more and more and more and more. Fill up your soul until you're overflowing with Hare Krishna. You see? Understand? Question next. Yeah.
You mentioned how the living entity is going to the body of Mahavishnu
yes.
at the time of destruction. Now, since Mahavishnu is also Supreme Personality Godhead, why don't they get purified by contact with him? And
so the question is, why we don't get purified by contact with him? Well, I've never read anything specifically stating whether we remained at the same level of impurity or we got purified. The only thing I've read is that we do come out and pick up where we left off. Now, it is quite possible, since I haven't stated, read anything, it's possible there could be some sort of purification by being in contact with them. Certainly it's possible. To say there could be absolutely no purification wouldn't make sense, because you're in direct contact with God Himself. There could be some purification. So I'm not saying there's not, but all I'm saying is, as Prabhupada stated, when you come out, you pick up where you left off. Now, it seemed there wouldn't be, if that's the case, it seems there's not that much purification. If there is, it's not that much purification. Could be a little bit, yeah?
Lord is neutral.
Did you say there's none?
Yeah, there is no purification. Because Lord is neutral. Whatever the desires of living entity has, it gets it.
The other side is the Paramatma is in the heart too. So, you know, you're saying, well, I'm purified by being within Mahavishnu, but Paramatma is already is within you, even the grossest sinner. So Mataji's point is good. I mean, the Paramatma could, the Mahavishnu could purify you if he wanted to. But the real purification doesn't come involuntarily. It comes when you, you know, yeyata mam prapajyante, when you want it. When you want it, become purified. That's when you get it. When it's inimical, the question is, of course, we do see example how the big demons, who are very big demons, who want to kill God, they get purified by being killed by God. So there is some arguments on the side of being purified because the demons were killed by God and get purified.
That's the boon they had it.
Huh?
That's the boon they had it.
Special boon.
Yeah.
But the ordinary course of action, as we've read, is they simply pick up where they left off after they come out. So there's not much change that takes place in terms of their karma chakra. They're still going on where they left off. So it appears it's not really a process of purification. It's just a process of waiting for the next universal manifestation. But we do have the opportunity to get purified by chanting Hare Krishna, you see. Why wait around hoping that maybe I'll get my coming down to Mahavishnu, you see. I'll get some mercy. Why not just contact the Supreme Lord Himself in His Nama Avatar. Right now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Next question. Yeah.
What's the difference between religion and culture?
Religion and culture. Yeah. There are, culture means an atmosphere, basically. Culture includes so many aspects: architecture, cuisine, fashion, philosophy, music, art, drama, architecture. You know, it's a very broad thing. It's like there's Australian culture. It's like here in Australia, you speak English differently than they do in the US. So that's an aspect of Australian culture. We say culture in America, you see. You say culture. We say culture. You see, there's a difference. So, and there's many different aspects of Australian culture. So, a culture can be religious or it can be irreligious. The Vedic culture is completely religious culture because every aspect of it is meant to reconnect one with God. So it's a very religious culture. But there, this modern day technological society is irreligious culture because even the religious aspects of it, the different churches, they teach sense gratification. You pray to God to get your material desires fulfilled. Is it? So culture can be religious, or meaning it connects you with God, or it can be irreligious, meaning that it disconnects you with God. You understand? Yeah. So religion is part of the culture, or a culture. Culture is meant to be religious. Human culture means it is religious. Animal culture means it is irreligious. Is it clear?
Yeah.
All right. Questions, Mara? Yeah.
People get purified just by walking past the devotee, even if the devotee doesn't say anything to him. And they may not even He may not even be in devotional dress. He may be in plain clothes. Do they get some purification just by walking past?
Yes. Depending on how pure the devotee is. The purer the devotee, the more benefit. It's like if it's a cold night and you walk by a fire, a campfire. This campfire can be just barely... It's like you had a campfire the other night at the retreat. It was a big, hot campfire. Everybody can warmed up by being near that campfire, you see. It's a little tiny campfire, almost dead. There's no, practically no warmth unless you, you know, stick your hand in right inside it or something, you know. So, a very advanced Vaishnava, by his presence, people can become very much purified. Or a neophyte, there's some purification, but not as much. Next question. Yeah?
It is said that, you know, if we're looking at demigods with a sense of desire, that's not very good. But whenever we actually offer obeisances to Vaishnavas, we say, Vangsha Kalpa Taruvyashtra. So you're, you know, fulfilling all our desires. So how do we look at the two in light?
Yes, if one approaches the demigods in a Krishna conscious way, not trying to fulfill your material desires, then that's all right. Actually, the gopis were praying to Goddess Katyayani that please give us Krishna as our husband. So is that some impure thing what they were doing? No, they were approaching the demigods for a Krishna conscious purpose. Next question. Is everybody's yes?
I was just speaking to someone and he said like, why should I believe in Gita because it's like history, you know, that was...
In Gita?
Yeah, so why should I read or believe in Gita because it's just a...
So your question is why you should believe in the Gita? Okay.
It's just like any other historical books.
Okay, so actually the fact that it's stuck in the middle of a history book is simply to attract you to read it. The Bhagavad Gita is actually a philosophical treatise, but it's put in the middle of a history book, an exciting, you know, intrigue-filled war story to get you to read it. But actually the Bhagavad Gita is a great philosophical treatise. Now we don't ask anybody to believe the Bhagavad Gita. We are not a religious sect here. We are lovers of truth here. We are not a sect of dogmatic believers. Someone who actually is looking for truth, who wants to know why they exist, who wants to know what is the source of all existence, we recommend they read this great philosophical treatise, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, which is unique of all the philosophical treatises in the world because this is directly spoken by God Himself. If you want to know what is the meaning of something, you go to the author himself. Just like one time, there was a playwright, a Bengali playwright, and he wrote a drama, Shah Jahan. You know, the father, the one who built the Taj Mahal. Can you move over a little bit? I was talking to her. You just moved and blocked her. Yeah, I'm answering her question. Yeah. So, and then all of a sudden she disappeared there. So, the playwright wrote this drama, Shah Jahan. And if you know the history of Shah Jahan, his son was Aurangzeb. He was a great Mughal tyrant. He was tearing down all the Hindu temples and pillaging the horrible atrocities he committed against the temples in Vrindavan. He's a rascal who tore the top four stories off the Radhagovinda temple and went in to smash all the deities in Vrindavan. He was a horrible tyrant. He put his own father in prison to take over His own father, he put him in jail in the Agra Fort. So, the whole drama was about Aurangzeb, the atrocities of Aurangzeb. And there was no mention of Shah Jahan practically in the whole drama. So one man was trying to figure out, why did you call the play Shah Jahan when it's all about Aurangzeb? And he said, because he was the real hero. He was sitting there in the Agra Fort, hearing of all the atrocities of his son. They were just beating on his heart. He was taking all this torment, knowing what his son was doing while he was locked in the prison, you see. So he is the real hero of this drama, therefore I've named it Shah Jahan. So how would you know that unless you ask the author himself, you see. So if you want to know how this universe works, why do we even exist, why did things happen, why are things going on the way they're going on? And why is it like this, you see? Why is existence manifested in the way that it's existing right now? Why do I exist? Where do I come from? What is my goal? These questions are answered in the Bhagavad Gita in a more complete, thorough, convincing, and scientific way than you can find in any other book in the universe. So we don't care if it's a history book or it's a, you know, we don't care what kind of book it is. All we know is the knowledge. This is the highest knowledge. Raja vidya raja guyam pavittam idam uttamam prajakshavagamam dharmyam shushukam kartamam yayam. Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 2, this knowledge is the king of education. It is the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge. And because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, wouldn't you like to know who you are? This knowledge will allow you to see your own self, who you really are, not what you see in the mirror, you see. What you see in the mirror is a mask. It's not your real self. The Bhagavad Gita will allow you to take off the mask and see who you really are beyond your body. This is powerful knowledge. We don't care how it was spoken, historical, non-historical, who cares? This knowledge is powerful. This knowledge will liberate you from all anxieties. This knowledge is like the sun that rises in the morning and illuminates everything. Gyanena tu tada gyanam yesham nashintam atmanaha tesham vajityam vajganam prakashayati tatpadam. When one is enlightened with that knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything, just as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So this knowledge will reveal everything. You'll be able to see everything. You'll become an enlightened being. If you learn how to see through the, just like you wear glasses, I can see. This is corrective lenses. So this is another type of glasses. If you learn to see through the collective, see, without your glasses, the world is like a blur for you, right? So right now, our vision of this world is a blur. Even if it's 2020, it's a blur, you see? But if we put on these glasses called Bhagavad Gita and we see the world through this knowledge, we will be enlightened beings who will know exactly why everything's happening the way it's happening. Why someone is born in a rich family. Why someone is born in a poor family. Why someone dies young. Why someone dies old. Everything, one will understand everything perfectly. So, just try to understand what is Bhagavad Gita. Gyanena, what is that verse? Gyanam teham savyagyanam. Idam vakshyam yasheshataha. This knowledge, Krishna says, now I shall declare to you this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. Now, what does the Bible say about itself? In the book of John, you know what it said? I have more to tell you, but you're not ready for it yet. But Krishna says, I'm telling you everything. This is all knowledge. There's no knowledge higher than this. So just try to understand, this is not some sect, this is not some Hindu mythology. Do I look like a Hindu? If this was a Hindu sect, I wouldn't be here. This is scientific knowledge of what is real and what is not real, and the difference between them. This, I've been following this science for 37 years, and it's made me the most, it's made me so happy beyond my wildest dreams, but like how I could be happy, you see. This knowledge is real because this knowledge works. If you want to know what truth is, I have a simple two-word test by which you can determine what is true and what is not true. It's simply this. Truth works. There you go. There's your. That's how you can determine truth. And the ultimate issue, truth works. Okay, next question. All right, time to go home. I had a long weekend in the retreat. I'm flying out tomorrow to Melbourne with Mataji. Especially Mataji is tired, but I'm also tired. So this, now you're wishing us well to go take rest because you're not asking any more questions. All right. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Raja Vidya Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai
Shri Sankarsha Prabhu Ki Jai.